Friday already. Told you'd come five. Can we pray? Father, we come and quiet our hearts before you because we love you and we need you. And Lord, I pray you'd help me. Will you help me today, Lord? You know there's a burden on my heart, and I want to share it right. So help me, Father, to control my emotions. Help me to control my self, Lord. And yet, Father, I pray you'd help me to share this principle that I think is extremely valuable for us young people. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you promised you'll be close to us. Thank you for your blessings thus far in life up to now. And yea, even in Bible school here. Thank you. Father, will you please take Mickey out of the way? Mickey's thoughts about himself, care about who I am, what others think of me, what I think of myself. And let me be a channel that says, limits your truth as little as possible. Amen. Thank you so much for today, Lord. We love you. Amen. I'm sorry. I hope I don't come across too heavy today. My heart is heavy. So I hope I don't come across too heavy, and yet my heart is heavy. And here's why. Because I had some friends a dozen years ago. I had some friends who walked with me, and I had some friends that I looked up to. And I respected them deeply. And they affected me, and they influenced me, and they motivated me in the things that we've talked about the past 4 days. They changed me. They influenced and affected and stimulated me. And today, I don't want to be where they're at. So I'd like to share another principle, and I know, again, please have mercy, this is not balanced. These are just some different miscellaneous principles, you might say, on my heart. I guess they're not miscellaneous. They're very specific to burdens I have for us as young people. But this last one here, I feel especially burdened about because of what I said. I've walked with some that have influenced me, and these four principles we've talked about, they blessed me and they challenged me, and because of God, not because of me, I had this principle I'm going to talk about in my life, and some of them didn't. And they ended up a different place than I am. And I'm not at the ultimate place, but the world affected them. Brother Mose asked me yesterday, he said, Mick, I don't remember how he asked it, so forgive me, brother, I'm sure I won't quote you right, but he said, you know, you years ago you had friends, you've seen a lot of Bible schools, and you had friends back then, and I don't remember if he asked, where are they today, or, you know, are they where you'd like them to be, or how many are one in heart with you, I don't know, something like that, and I just told him, well, brother, I said, that's what's on my heart for tomorrow, I told him that yesterday. So, again, forgive me if I come across a little heavy, but young people, this is important. Here's one of the things I'm concerned about. I know I haven't given you the title yet. Just give me a minute here. Here's one of the things I'm concerned about. I'm concerned that you take yesterday, and you take the other days before, and you take your Bible, and you go into your closet. And you get on your knees, and this is the way you live life. I'm not just talking about doing it one time, but the way you live life. And you go into your closet, and you open the Bible, and it's me and my Bible. It's me and my Bible and my God. And that's where you find answers. And that's where you find what you feel is biblical, and that's how you direct your life. And God didn't mean for it to be that way. That's not godly. That's not fulfilling what He has here. He didn't mean for it to be me, my Bible, and my God, and we find our way through this life. That's not God's heart. I'm afraid you'll lose your way. That's what you do. If you take my past messages and you take that, I'm afraid you'll lose your way. Like some of my dear friends, and it's a burden on my heart. I feel very keenly that I'm one of you, okay? I'm a young man. I'm only 33. And, you know, opportunities to share at this Bible school or other places come. And, you know, just not very long ago, I sat down with my ministry and I just said, you know, what do you think? What do you really think about me? You know, what do you think about going to Burn? And we talked about different things. And what do you think I should do? And who do you really think I am? And one of them made the comment, well, you know, I think it would be good. Sorry, they didn't say it lighthearted. I think, you know, I think it would be okay. I think maybe they used the word okay. And I looked back and I said, I don't want it to be okay. I want to know if you think it's best. Because young people, I'm scared. No, I'm not scared. I have a holy fear. I think it's holy. Over my heart, that I don't fall. That I don't get distracted. That I don't get lost. That I don't get lifted up in pride. That I don't think I have the answers. And so I asked him, I don't want to go if you think it's okay. I want to go if you think it's best. Then I'll go. And I just share that as just one illustration. But I think we need to have a holy fear. A holy caution. And realize God never meant, and this is a quote for you. At least I say it right here. God never meant for enough grace to come directly for Him, for me to live the Christian life. He meant for some of His grace to come horizontally from my brethren. And if I take the attitude that, you know, I'm going to learn to be alone with God, what I shared yesterday, and I'm going to meet with God, and I'm going to study the Bible, and I'm going to find God, and I'm going to find answers, and I push away the grace that's trying to come in on the horizontal level, and I just focus on this vertical level. I'm afraid, I'm just saying this way, many have gotten lost. Many. Brethren, we need each other. We need our elders. We need our fathers. We need our mothers. We need our brethren. We need them. And I hope that after this message, you'll understand what I mean when I talk about this holy fear over your heart, this holy caution, this holy longing to be influenced by the right people in the horizontal way, and to love authority, and to love the blessing, and to love the concerns. Here's your title. I'm sorry, it's a little long. I should probably learn how to do it better, but here's my title. It's a little long. The Necessity of Godly Human Guidance in Your Life. The necessity of godly human guidance in your life. I want you to write this principle. The principle of human influence. The principle of human influence. How many of you have ever heard of going to war by yourself? Anybody heard of that before? We're going to go to war against a country. Okay, maybe you've heard of it, but you know the absurdity of it. We're going to go to war against this awful enemy. And you don't go do that on a war scale all by yourself. And we all know we're in a war. God said we're in a war. We've talked about it already that we're in a war. And the devil seeketh like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Just a couple verses before I get to some of the verses I really want to look at. I'm just going to read a couple here. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each esteem other better than themselves. You see that? I remember a brother that is a blessing to me. We would sit in a brother's meeting, and he was in this church that we were a part of. He was the head elder. And it's not the one I'm a part of now. But he was the head elder. And there would be discussion in brothers' meetings, and you know, different people would talk. And if he started talking, and he realized another brother started and then stopped because he was talking, you know how sometimes that kind of happens, he stopped. He just stopped. Oh, go ahead, brother, go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say. And he drew him out. There was a humility about him that I still look at him and I love. And when I think about that dear brother, I think, Lord, I want that attribute. Seems like down his heart, he esteems his brother. And the ultimate is not let them talk and you don't do any talking. I'm not saying that. But you see the principle. It's, I so respect you that I want to hear what you have to say. I want to know what you think. If we truly esteemed our brother in this way, this, you know, my God and my Bible and my doctrines, it seems a little funny, doesn't it? Let's esteem our brethren. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful, that promise. Again, please, just a few verses here. And let us consider one another to love and to good works. You know, it's not just this way. It's let's consider one another. We need to consider one another to love and to good works. And it's not just a matter of, you know, it's me and God. Let's consider one another to love and to good works. Because we want to hold fast. Not forsaking. We've heard this verse, I think, already. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So much more as ye see the day approaching. Somehow in this day and age, there's a tremendous amount of independence coming in to the West. And we are so independent. And the tendency is, you know, I'm responsible for me. And if I don't see it in the Bible, and if I'm not convinced of it, and if it's not, you know, you can't give me chapter and verse, then skip it. It must not be biblical. And, you know, you stand on what I believe in, what I heard from God in my closet. And I want to say these things carefully because I don't want to down in the slightest what I said yesterday. I'm not trying to smash that down. I'm trying to lift another principle up. We need each other. We need brethren. We need leaders. We need authority. Can the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Doesn't work. You know, I'm alone in my closet and I'm an eye, okay? Eyes are pretty important. But an eye can't say to the hand, ah, fooey on you. Doesn't work. It won't come out right. Nor again the head to the feet. Oh, I don't need you, feet. I mean, listen, feet. How well can you think through, old feet, 3 plus 3? You can't even do 3 plus 3, feet. You're kind of dumb. Silly feet. And you all smile. Because just because the head knows 3 plus 3 and the feet doesn't mean you need the head and you don't need the feet. Nay, much more these members of the body which seem to be feeble are necessary. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in Jesus' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking in bread and prayers. Did I quote that right? What did I say wrong? Catch that? It didn't say Jesus' doctrine. It said the apostles' doctrine. Just want you to meditate on that a little bit. Okay, maybe you say big A apostle doctrine, and so that's closed down. Well, you just think on it, and as we go through this message here today, just think about that. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They got grace coming this way horizontally, and they said, "What he said is right." And they continually, daily, with one accord, went all by themselves into the closet and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. We all know that's not true. Sorry, I kind of messed that up. I kind of said two different things there, but you get the point. They continuing daily with one accord, all of them together in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness. Yeah, singleness of heart, but it was more than one and they were all together. The principle of human influence is godly. It's right. It's a must. And we need this, especially in our day and age where it is so common to be individualistic and to think I have to stand on my own two feet and I have to stand up for myself. And it's true. Some of us may have even come from settings where the principle of authority and brotherhood and direction and all those things were abused. So remember what I said? I think I said this already, haven't I? The abuse of something doesn't mean that thing's wrong. It just means the abuse is wrong. I want us to see the horror and spiritual suicide that the devil is trying to deceive us into. It's a spiritual suicide. When we come to the idea that I'm strong enough to hear from God and I can get the answers all by myself and I'll walk through life. And young people, it's especially killing us. As young people, it's especially killing us. We think we have the answers. We don't. And we're wrong. Let's be careful. Sorry, I know we're not all wrong, but get the heart of what I'm saying. Open your Bibles. Romans 13. The necessity, absolute necessity of godly human guidance in our lives. Romans chapter 13, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of who? Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Whew, that's strong. Did you get that? I'm going to read that again. Let every soul, you and me, be subject unto higher powers. Is he talking about God? Is God talking about himself as a higher power? He's not. He's actually talking about the government. Seems like in the context here, verse 3, for rulers are a terror to good works, but to the evil, are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So be subject unto this higher power, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. And whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's strong. What I want us to see is, God didn't decide how fast we're supposed to go on the roads. God didn't decide that. He left that to man. And so if we take the attitude that, you know, it's me and God, it doesn't matter how fast we go on the road. Is it going to work? It's not going to work. You know, if we take the attitude of independence and all of that, and here, I realize we're just looking at the government, but if God uses that for an authority in the government that is most times ungodly, but He calls them authority and He calls them power, how much more when we have godly authorities. See what I'm saying? God is using an illustration, and I realize this illustration is about the government and about civil powers and rulers here. But I think if God used it in this, how much more should it be when we have godly powers? And so I'm using this in a general sense. I'm not just focusing on the government. We're going to look at that a little bit. But I just want us to see the principle that God laid down, and God says, God gave us His Word, and He said, this is His Word. And we all know, I'm sure I should put this in here, if the government or the worldly powers go against God, we all know what we're supposed to do. That's clear. And I want to keep that clear. And if the powers that be say, do something, and it's sin, we don't do it. That's clear. But when they say to do something, and it's not sin, we need to what? Do it. It's that simple. And so again, I'm just repeating myself, but if God did that and said that in light of this world's powers, how much more ought it to be when it comes into our homes and into our churches? So again, sorry, back to my little picture here. We have God, and God gave us His Word and gave us direction, but then He left some things undone. Maybe I shouldn't say it quite that strong. That might sound a little like as if God didn't finish. But no, He finished what He wanted, but He didn't decide how fast to go on the roads. He didn't decide how much taxes to pay. He didn't tell us, and He said, I want these men to decide that. And God ordained them to decide that. And then I come under them, and they are under God. Not of my kingdom, but God's in control of that kingdom too. And I'm under them. And when they say to go 25, I'm supposed to go 25. I'm sorry, I'm really not harping on speed limit here. I'm just wanting the principle. And when they say they pay 6% tax on this, we pay 6% tax on that. I don't have this. I'm sorry. Sometimes some of my illustrations I don't have. They break down. Illustrations break down after a while. But we have a biblical realm. We have an unbiblical realm. Right? There's very clearly a biblical realm that God gives us His New Testament standard, and He delights for us to live up to that. And there's clearly an unbiblical realm where God says, we may not do this. This is sin. Do not go here. Do not. And then I'm going to put here in the middle. I'm going to put extra biblical. And so sometimes we tend to divide things into these three categories. And we say there's clearly a biblical realm, and there's clearly an unbiblical realm, and then we put this middle realm in here, unbiblical. Who's in charge, who's the controller of the biblical realm and tells us what to do and what not to do?
God.
Right? Who's in charge of the unbiblical realm and tells us to do things that are wrong and sinful? Satan? Okay, sure. Satan? Or we could say what? Sinful man. Right?
Sorry about the scribbling there.
Sinful man. And they're the ones that make unbiblical laws. And so we call some of these things that are wrong, we call them unbiblical. The things that are right, we call biblical. What about this little middle slot? Who's in charge of this middle slot? I fear that too many times in independent America, we tend to take this middle slot and we say, well, if I can't find it in my Bible and I don't see a verse for what I see, then I'm going to put extra biblical. It almost ends up moving over with unbiblical. That's the tendency I fear, especially here in the West, in North America. Well, if I can't see it in my Bible, and if you can't point a verse to it, and you're telling me I shouldn't have my... What have we talked about here? Have we talked about sports cars, and we shouldn't be playing games, and we shouldn't have be playing on smartphones, and okay, some of these things, but I can't find that here, and so, you know, sometimes we categorize that here. And sometimes a man likes to say, well, if I can't find it in my Bible, it's unbiblical. Do you think that's biblical?
No.
I don't either. What did we just look at? If on this side there are biblical things, and one of the biblical things is that man is given some responsibility to make some decisions. Romans 13, we just looked at it. Man is given some responsibility to make some decisions. So if some godly man make some decisions, and he puts some applications to things, and we might call them extra-biblical. What actually happens to those, you know, I don't even have to do that, do I? Let me first just do this. Let's do this. First, man makes a decision. And he says, go 25. Go 55. I probably should have come up with some other illustrations, but that's just the one I've been using here. And so man, sinful man, not even godly man, sinful man makes an extra biblical decision and says the speed limit's 65. Is it right for me to go 80? So all of a sudden, a decision that man made, maybe it's not extra biblical after all. Maybe it actually becomes biblical. Do you think it's biblical to go 65 on the speed limit 65? And again, I'm sorry, I should have come up with some other illustration. I'm not hammering on speed limit, but it becomes biblical. Because when God gives authority to a man, that man's decision, as long as it's not unbiblical, becomes biblical. So I think we need to realize that maybe we need to realize many times these might be more together than these are. Biblical and, quote, extra-biblical end up being biblical more than the extra-biblical may end up being unbiblical. It can. I know it can. An extra-biblical thing can become unbiblical, but then it's not extra-biblical anymore. It's what? In the Old Testament... In the Old Testament, authority was very, very clear. If Moses said to do it, and you didn't do it, what? You died, but trouble. If a father said to do something, and you had a rebellious son, I think Brother Sam mentioned with us earlier, what happens to him? Stoning. Authority was very clear. Do you think Jesus lowered the standard in the New Testament? Remember what we looked at Monday? Did Jesus lower the standard in the New Testament? He didn't. So then why are we trying to lower the standard of authority? Jesus didn't lower the standard. I don't find God downing authority in His Word in the New Testament. Think about this with me. When God wanted the gospel preached to the world, who did He have to do it? Did God decide, all right, Jesus went back to earth and now God is going to put some beautiful display on and maybe He'll send angels flying around the globe declaring the glorious message of the gospel there. Is that what He did? He didn't. Who did He choose to do it? Man. He took this glorious, eternal gospel. And He put it into the hands of you and me. Very, very fallible creatures. And He said, go spread it. So what about the continuation of the gospel? Does that all of a sudden change now? And it's just God that'll make sure it continues. And it's just God that'll speak to us. You know, and it's just God that will direct us and man doesn't have anything to do with it anymore. I think it's very clear that as in the spreading of the gospel, so God has ordained that in the helping and directing of God's people and so that the kingdom of God goes forward, there's also going to be some direction. This is what I've been talking about, okay? Authority in general, number one. I think I have 6 points here. Just so you kind of know what I'm doing, where I'm going. Talking about just authority in general. I want you to go to a verse that a brother shared with me a few years ago. 1 Samuel 15. First Samuel chapter 15. This brother was dealing with a situation and he had a young man. And this young man was making some decisions and taking steps away from the church. He had gotten married. And he was taking some steps away from what we clearly feel is a godly direction. And you all would agree with me. And we were talking about this young man. I know him and love him, was with him during a period in his life. And he said, listen to this verse. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from becoming king. Okay, so here we have God equating witchcraft and rebellion. And I realize both of those words are very, very strong. Witchcraft is an extremely strong word, and rebellion is an extremely strong word. And God is equating them. But what witchcraft does, this brother, we were just talking about this, what witchcraft does is it deceives people. And it makes them so that they don't even know, hardly know what's truth and what's untruth. And the devil just deceives them and takes them off, and they believe a lie. Well, if rebellion is equated to that, don't you think it does the same thing? Rebellion ends up deceiving people, and they can't even discern truth from untruth. And they end up going off. And what do you think about this? Both go against God-ordained authority. Both lead to deception. What about this little thought? Resistance to authority gives place for the devil to deceive. You know, rebellion and witchcraft are strong. What happens if we just take rebellion, we just have a teeny bit of it, and we're going to call it resistance to authority? Do you not think that that actually gives place to the devil to start deceiving, just as witchcraft deceives? Do you see the principle there? You know, you take something really harsh and you just take a small portion of it. Well, if you have something here and you take a small portion of it and it's equated, you're going to end up with a small portion over here too. Resistance to authority gives place to the devil. And this brother shared with me, he said, you know what? He said, I honestly don't think that young man knows what he's doing. I've tried to talk with him and I honestly think he's blind. He does not understand. Because there's some rebellion in his heart. There was some resistance to the authority that was at the church where he was leaving. There was some resistance, and he doesn't understand, and he's going downhill fast. Is authority scary to you? I realize, I'll say it again, there has been abuse of it, no doubt. And I'm going to guess there are some of us in here that have experienced it. Maybe quite a few of us that have experienced it. But please remember that the abuse does not mean it's wrong. The abuse is wrong. The principle is still beautiful. It's still godly. We should be much more scared of independence than of authority. We should be much more scared of independence than of authority. Okay. I just want to talk about authority in general. Number two, Ephesians 6, we know this verse. We barely even have to turn there. But I'm going to turn there because I'm going to refer back to it a couple times. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord whenever they ask you to do biblical things, for this is right. That's what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Because God has done He has made some decisions, then He has set up other people and asked them to make some decisions, and when they make the decisions, God is behind them. Remember this principle back here? I'm sorry, I should have come up with a diagram for that, and I didn't. But do you see the principle? So when God gives parents some authority, and He says, give children direction. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So, if my father says something, or my mother says something, and I rebel against it, I'm rebelling against who? God. What if I just resist it a little bit? What am I doing? Remember what we just talked about? I'm blinding myself to the truth when I resist it. And again, this is in the context of godliness. I realize there's abuse, so please, take it in the context of godliness. When there are struggles, and I'll just put this little insert, when there are struggles and there may be ungodly authority asking you to do unbiblical things, don't try to figure it out yourself. You're bypassing authority and saying you trust in God. Don't do it. Go find a godly authority to help you, another one, to help you walk with the other one that you're under. Was I too vague there? I'll just put it straight here. I realize there are some settings where you end up with, whether it's church or whether it's father. We're looking at father and mother here. And if there is clearly sin and unbiblical, don't you go bucking it. Don't do it until you find another authority, godly one, and let him help you walk through that. All right? Okay, but I'm talking about when it's right. And I trust for most of you, it's right. Are your parents perfect? No. But are they your parents? And do they have responsibility? And do they have authority? Yes. What did I want to say? Obey your parents in the Lord when you feel like it is not what it says. A very dear young man to me, and he's young, he's a couple years younger than me, and I'm young, so that means he's young. He said, Mick, he said, I was reading through Proverbs today. We were just sharing a little bit. And he said, I was reading through Proverbs, and he said, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 popped out at me. Sorry, I'm trying to go there. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. You don't have to go there if you don't want, but he said, I was reading through Proverbs chapter 6 here. And verse 20, it starts out, my son, keep thy father's commandment. And he said, you know what? That doesn't say God's commandment. This is thy father's commandment. And when you keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother, and then bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck, and when thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. And he's a young man who very much respects his father, since we're in line of home authority here. He respects his father. He does. And he's reaping blessing from that. But he said, I was reading across this and he said, you know, it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing when I get to relate to my father. And I want to know, Dad, what do you really think? What do you really want for me? Don't wait until he has to say a yes or a no. Don't do that. Look for a leaning in his heart and jump on it. I don't remember. It's till today. Relating to my father. I didn't always have the right heart. I didn't. So I'm going to share a positive one. Please forgive me. I wasn't always positive. But here's a positive one. As I started learning the blessing of authority, and I started wanting to grab on and bind them on my heart and tie them about my neck, I started realizing there's blessing. I get blessing here whenever it's right here. I get blessing from God. Grace comes and it flows through my father. And so I would go and I would ask him about something. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And you know, the more I continued to ask, and the more I shoved myself under, the less he gave me exact, direct answers of yes and no. Well, Mick, what do you think? You want to draw me out? You want to know what I thought about it? And till today, when I go to him to ask him, I probably have hardly gotten a yes or a no from my father for years and years and years. But I still like to go to him. And you know what I'm doing? I'm asking him questions and I'm watching the needle of his opinion. And he'll try to hold it right there at 50-50. And we talk and he'll try to hold it there, but I'm watching. Is he leaning a little bit? Is he leaning just a little bit this way? And if he is, I want that way. Or if he leans a little bit this way, I'm going to grab it and bind it on my heart and bind it about my neck. He doesn't have to say yes and no. And I realize there's times for yeses and no's. But do you see the whole different heart? Whole different perspective. When you see the beauty and the blessing of it, then you're going, you're saying, what are you really thinking? And you realize, oh, there's a leaning there. Yes. All right. I'm going that way. You'll find blessing there. You'll find blessing. Why? Because of this principle. And the blessing of God comes as we say, what do you want, Dad? What do you want, Mom? I'm sure you've all heard probably the little illustration of a young man being in his closet and he's on his floor, or a young lady, And they're in their closet and they're on their floor and they're praying, "Oh God, will you give me direction? Lord, what do you want for my life?" You know, and you're wanting God to give you some direction. You're wanting grace to come. And God, what do you want for my future? And that's a common question for young people, isn't it? What do you want for my future? And how do I serve? And where do you want me? And here we are on our knees. And all of a sudden, on the door. And mom or dad's at the door. You probably heard the illustration, right? And they poke their head and say, "Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but could you watch the children a little? I need to run to the whatever. Could you take care of the laundry or whatever?" Sure, mom, I will. Door goes closed. "Okay, Lord. Okay, I need to go, God, but please, will you answer my pleas, Lord? I want to know what you want." And so then you go and you go do the laundry. Well, do you think it's possible that God just answered your question? Right here, the knock on the door. And you're praying, "God, what do you want me to do?" And do you know what? Many times God shows us what the next step is. Not 20 steps, but the next step. Let's be willing to take what God says. And when the next step is do the laundry in front of us, do it with all your might as unto Jesus. Amen. Yeah, it's right to get on your knees and say, "God, what do you want from me?" But remember, there's tremendous blessing that flows as we allow authority and we allow our parents to give us direction. Let's bind them about our heart. Don't just put them over here, but bind them right there on our hearts. A dear sister at church, weepingly, a few weeks ago, probably been a couple months actually now, she quoted Proverbs 30:17 and asked for prayer for her daughter. Just read it to you here quickly. She asked for prayer for her daughter. "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it." And she said, "My daughter doesn't have any eyes. She doesn't have any eyes. She can't see. Her spiritual eyes have been totally plucked out. And she's going through painful thing after painful thing." And this mother just sat there and wept. As she said, "The eagles, the enemy, has taken out the eyes of my daughter." We try to give her some counsel. And it's obvious to us, if she makes this choice, she's going to reap. And we've tried to tell her, and she just doesn't listen, and she takes that step, and she reaps. And then she's working on another decision, and we try to talk to her, and she doesn't listen, and she takes another step, and she reaps again. She says, she can't see. Her eyes are plucked out. Because in verse 17, the ravens of the valley, I'm sorry, it doesn't say eagles, does it? Oh, and the young eagles eat it. "The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles have eaten her eyes." Young people, our parents, help us have eyes. Listen to them. And bind their heart. Bind what's on their heart on your heart. Don't just take what they say yes to and no to. No. Yeah, that's good. By all means, do that. But look for the heart of the matter. What are their hearts longing for you to see? What do they see that you might struggle to see? Struggle to see it and look to see it and understand it. And then watch the needle as you relate to them. You know what I'm saying? Which way are they leaning? And jump on it. Don't wait till it has to be a big yes or a big no. I have Deuteronomy here, 21 is one more illustration. I think we'll move on. Brother Sam mentioned the stoning of children. And I just want you, picture with me just a little bit, I guess, this picture. This young man has been rebellious, and so they're bringing him before the judges. And the parents are saying, "Now listen, judge, this young man is rebellious. He's not listening to us. I think it's talking about he's a drunkard. And it lists off a few things. So he's not listening to us." And they take him before the judges, and then they're supposed to take him and stone him. Just think about it. This young man, he's heard all that's happened. He says, "Now hold on, judge. Listen to me. Listen, judge. My parents asked me to do something that was totally and completely extra-biblical. You can't find it in the law, judge. You open the books of the law. You look in the law, and you cannot find anywhere where they asked me, where the law says I should do what my parents asked me to do. Now, judge, look. This is totally extra-biblical. Why are you going to, you're going to stone me for something extra-biblical? What do you think? That makes sense? Yeah, sorry, it's not a right or wrong enemy. You say yes, you can say no. Of course not. God said he's stoned. If his parents give him direction, and he's resisting, and he's resisting, and he's resisting. Let's not think that we can also stand up and say, well, but Dad, what's wrong with these nicer looking shoes, you know? What's wrong with it? Where's the verse? You have your eyes plucked out. You're going to deserve being stoned. Don't do it. Do you love it? Love authority. Realize the blessing of the eyes that it will give you. It'll help us young people. And again, as I mentioned at the very beginning, those dear young people that had some of the principles that I already talked about earlier this week, they had those principles and they walked with them and there was a fire burning in their heart for God. And today, I don't want to be where they're at. They didn't have this one. Some of them. Some of them actually didn't have it much at all. Then they had other authorities come and try to help them and they kind of resisted it. And ended up the wrong place. Their eyes got plucked out. They got deceived. We need human, godly, human people. You know, flesh and blood to help show us this way. Not that way. That's no good. That is. Number three, church and brotherhood. You all know these verses, but I was talking with a brother the other day. Okay, it's been a few months now. And he said he was talking to a young man, and just to be real frank, this young man was a little cool. And his shirt was a little cool, and his trousers were a little cool, and his shoes were a little cool, and then his stance, I'm not sure how you do it, you know, his stance was a little cool, and his life, and it was choking him. That's what I'm looking for. It was choking him. He doesn't know it. So this young man that I was talking to is not him. Sorry, when you try to use names, you have to try to keep things clear. We have John and Henry, okay? And Henry was going the wrong way. And I was talking to Brother John the other day. And Brother John, these are made up names here. Brother John went to Henry and he said, well, Henry, he cared about him. I loved him. He said, Henry, what do you think of this verse? Remember them which have the rule over you. I'm Hebrews 13:7. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And he asked him, he said, so are you doing that? Are you following the faith of your elders? You know, you can say, you might want to say, yeah, I'm following the faith. But if you say you're following the faith, but you're not following the people, you're not following the faith. You can't get to where they got by going a different path. You can't say, well, I want to be where he is, but, you know, I don't like his path. Well, this young man didn't like that very well. Why? Because he knew in his heart he wasn't following. And young people, he's not going to end up where his godly elder is either. Well, he thinks it's just shoes, and it's just his trousers, and it's just his car, and it's just his music, and, you know, just these little things. Have I signed any of your books, by the way? What does it say? Thank you. And those little things, and those little things, and those little things are going to take him down a path that's different than his, what's the word it uses here? The one who has rule over him. Young people, those who have the rule over us in the church, here I'm talking about the elders, listen to them. Watch them. See what their faith is producing and copy them. Going over to verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit them, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. I'm sorry, what I think was I was actually wondering. What I was wanting. I may not have it written down here. I believe it's Hebrews 6, is it 12? That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I want you just to picture this. Your elder, or maybe some other brethren in the church too, but your elder, he's out in front of you. And you look at his life and you realize he's inherited some promises. Some of those promises we talked about on day one, some of the things on day two he's walked through, he's gotten rid of all the choking things, he's been pursuing God, there's holiness flowing out of his life, and you can see he's holding a promise. And he's grasped the promise of God, and there's godliness flowing from his lives. Look at him. Watch him. And follow him. Do it like he does. And please, don't come out of your closet that we talked about yesterday and be all fired up about some verses, all fired up about something that you think happened in your heart, and it's different than what he's saying. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. And I realize there are wrong authorities, but again, don't you try to deal with them yourself. You go find another godly one to let you help you work through that. Where there's fruit flowing, and I realize it's a bit of a touchy area, but just get the heart. I'm not going to keep qualifying myself. Get my heart here, okay? The principle of God. Just think about this one. Matthew 18. We know this one also. Matthew 18, verse 20. Verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth, I realize I'm just jumping in the middle, shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What do you say, brothers and sisters? If the brotherhood gets together and the elders are getting together and they make a decision and they say, all right, we're not interested in, what should I say, the radio. I'll use that one. We're not interested in the radio. And you're going to, and you come and you say, wait a minute, I can't find the verse here. And I'm not going to listen. Haven't I talked long enough that you know what you're doing? You're killing yourself. When the brethren and the elders, they bind something. And I realize the Catholic Church and others have taken this to the extreme. But when they take under the Word of God and under godliness, they bind something. And they say, brethren, let's agree not to do this. Amen, amen, amen. And then you decide, oh, you turn it on anyway. What are you doing? You're killing yourself. Do you think you can receive a blessing from God in that? Absolutely not. But now look at the other side. Do you see the blessing in that? Do you see the blessing in that? Well, they've agreed. Okay, I use the issue of the radio. We could go to the internet. We could go to the whatever you want to deal with in today's day and age. We could go to the, they decide that let's not wear this and let's do wear that. And we agree together as brethren. I realize this can be taken too far, but we agree together. Brethren, this is for our good. We think it's best for you and it's best for me and this will be good for us. And we agree together. And I think God says, good. And then we decide, I'm going to buck that. And I don't really like it. What are you doing? You're losing your eyes. And then you'll be convinced. As you walk away and do something different, you'll be convinced you're right. But you know what? You can't see. You don't know. Okay, I need to keep moving on here. I'm just going to touch on this one a little bit. I already did, I guess, in one sense. But I'm just going to, just briefly, 1 Peter 2:13. We know it says, obey the ruler, obey them which have the rule. I'm not getting that right, am I? What's 1 Peter 2:13? Somebody quote that for us. Okay, I have it here. Submit yourself. Is that what I want here? 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or as unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. Let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves, okay? I remember a brother sharing this. He said, do you want to be 100% free from sin or do you want to be 90% free from sin? How many want to be 100? Amen. Right? Well, then do we want to 100% obey the laws of the land or just 90% obey them? Let's just be careful. that we earnestly obey what we're directed to do. Whether it's driving, whether it's taxes, whether it's... I'll just leave it at that. Let's go on. I know this is, wouldn't have to be divided this way, but I just want to make a point. Number five, godly men. Listen to godly men and follow them. Did you know that it's right to follow men? Did you know that? I fear sometimes we've reacted so much sometimes from what we've come from that we kind of shiver at that. But did you know it's right to follow men? 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Follow me, do it like I did, Paul said. Philippians 3:17, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Mark them. You see him over there? Apostle Paul is like that. That man's like that. Mark him. Mark him. And follow him. And you know, people go up to him and talk to him. Amen. Ask him questions. See how he does it. He's under the brotherhood. He's under the church. He's under the leaders. Maybe he's one of them. And there's godliness flowing out of his life. Mark him. Because he's doing it like the Apostle Paul did. And follow him. Do it like he did. Well, what does he do? Well, you know, he has faith in God. He does. But you know what else he does? He has certain kind of businesses, and he has drives certain kind of cars, and he has certain kind of houses, and he wears certain kind of clothes, and he does certain type of things, and he doesn't do other things, and he goes some places, and he doesn't go other places. And do you think you can set all of that aside and say, I want to be like him, and set that aside? Can't do that. Won't work. As you have seen in me, do. Philippians 4:9. 1 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. The Apostle Paul says, 1 Timothy 1:15 through 16, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth. So in me first, the Apostle Paul is saying, and then I am a pattern. 1 Timothy 5:15 and 16. And then I'm a pattern. And then you take that pattern and you hold it up to your life. Do you match? Does it go in and out where it should? Does it go up and down where it should? Is it the right color? That gets kind of, make that pretty practical, couldn't you? Hebrews 6:12, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Follow men. That's just what I'm trying to emphasize here. Follow godly men, that there's fruit flowing from their lives. And it's talking about elders in Hebrews 13:7. We read that. Whose faith follow? 1 Peter 5:3, being ensamples to the flock. And we're talking about the elders being an ensample to the flock. 2 Thessalonians 3:7 through 9. I'm just going through these fast just so you get a picture of this. 2 Thessalonians 3:7 through 9. And ensample unto you to follow us. He was talking about the elders being, the Apostle Paul was an example so that you would follow us. Do it like we do. When we step over here, you step over here. We step over there, you step over there. In very, very practical things that, again, we've talked about already this past week. Churches. 2 Corinthians 9:2, your zeal hath provoked very many. The zeal of one church, another church looked at it and said, oh, that's beautiful. Oh, we're kind of lacking, aren't we? And it provoked them. 1 Thessalonians 2:14, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches in Judea. It talked about. They looked at those Judean churches and they said, oh, I want what they have. There's fruit there. There's godliness there. Let's go talk to them. Brethren, what are you doing? And be careful. As soon as you decide, don't quite like that. I don't quite like that. I think we need to tweak this a little bit. You might not end up where they're at. Following men, godly men, is godly. Number six, peers. Number six is peers. Listen to this verse here. This is a very, very simple verse, but I want you to think about it when you're talking about peers. Human influence. Remember the principle of human influence. Proverbs 13:20. Very simple. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools, he might be a little bit wise. Is that what it says? No. Shall be destroyed. That's pretty simple. So when you look at your peers, don't think That you can look at some of your peers and, you know, you won't be influenced by them. Won't work. You'll be influenced by them. Pick them out, you know. It's right for you to relate to each other, to learn to appreciate each other, to pray together, to stimulate each other, to challenge each other, to say, hey, look at brother so-and-so. I think we need to follow that. That's godly. And to stimulate, that's good, that's beautiful. But remember, choose them wisely. You can't get away with wrong influence and think it won't affect you. It won't work. Choose them wisely. We all know 1 Corinthians 5:13. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And that communications, that's not just talking. That's talking about our life. Our manner of life. And if it's connected with, it's communicated and your life is influenced by evil, it's going to rub off on you. I think I've mentioned to you some. I moved to Idaho when we were 15. And I lost a lot of my peers. And you know what? I'm glad. Because a lot of the ones I had wouldn't have been all that good for me. And I think I told you, didn't I tell you I found other peers? Did I mention that to you? I found other peers. And they influenced me. And I think I already said it, but I'm going to say it again. I found peers in the Word of God. And maybe his name was Epaphroditus. And I looked at his life and I studied his life and I saw what Epaphroditus did. And I saw the words of commendation that the Apostle Paul gave him and I said, God, make me like Epaphroditus. And then I studied Epaphras. And then it was whoever it was, Philip. Oh, I like. You study Philip and watch his travels and watch what he did and watch some of the beautiful things and the humility and the godliness that was in Philip. And God, I want to be like that. And I read some. I had some biographies and I read some. And one of my friends, he spent, I think it was either a half night of prayer or a whole night of prayer every week. That was one of my friends. I mean, I don't want to make light, but you know what I'm saying? And those were the people that were around me that influenced me. Okay, find good peers. Find good friends that are going to motivate you and bless you. Sorry, I'm just a little disorganized here today. I'm going to give you 8 applications with this principle. All right? I'm not going to write them down. Number one, simple. Obey the laws of the government. Okay? Just do it. Just obey the laws of the government. We already talked about that. Number two, don't make fun of authorities in any way. Whether government and President Obama. Let's be careful. Whether maybe one of our leaders, maybe he has an oddity. Or, sorry, maybe that's kind of strong, but something a little different. Don't make fun of it. Don't do it. You'll start choking yourself, plucking out your eye. You'll turn blind. Number three, learn to love authority. Learn to love it. Remember my needle? Judge yourself. Do you have to have a yes or a no before you do something? If you have to have a yes or a no, why don't you, I'm going to encourage you, try to go beyond that. Watch the needle of the heart of your parents that we've talked about, or your authorities, or your elders, and just watch the needle. If they're leaning this way, lean with them. It's that simple. Love authority and realize the beauty and protection and blessing in it. You know, that's one of the things that I'm kind of desperate for. I already told you that. But because some of my friends aren't where I want to be. And so I'm clinging to this one saying, God, keep me straight. Keep me straight, Lord. I'm going to keep my eyes and my heart under. Number four. Oh, that's what it was. Follow authority's leanings. Sorry. Follow their leanings. Don't just wait to a harsh yes or a harsh no. Follow their leanings. Just what they kind of feel and what feels right to them. I was talking to an older brother 2 weeks ago, one Sunday afternoon, and we were talking about a particular thing, and he just shook his head and he said, I smell a rat. I smell a rat. He couldn't quite put his finger on it. We talked about some negatives and some positives, and he couldn't quite put it. He just said, I smell a rat. Young people, don't feel like you have to smell it to believe it. If he's your authority, trust him. Follow their leanings. Number five, ask your authorities to speak into your life. You ask them, Dad, what do you think about me? Where could I grow? Mom, where am I a little weak? Your leader, brother so-and-so, how can I be more of a blessing to the church? Where am I pulling a little differently than you're pulling? I want to pull with you. But what can you say about my life? Oh, you'll reap blessings. They long for your life to be holy and godly. They're not there trying to, with their own agenda. They want you to be blessed. They want you to be faithful to the end. And that's their heart. And they'll give you, maybe they'll give you some direction. And you know, sometimes some of them don't always just have an answer like that. Learn to ask questions. I should have pulled that verse out in Proverbs. Some of you should go search for that verse. I was talking about it with a brother. That blesses the one who asks questions. Learn to draw them out. For some of them, it may not be easy for them to sit down and say, well, I think you should change this and do this and do that. Many times they won't do that, but learn to ask questions and feel them out. Okay, number five was ask your authority to speak in your life. Number six, be slow to question godly leaders. Be slow to question them. In their preaching, in their teaching, in their sharing, just be slow, very slow. I've been to some Bible schools and I want to bless you all. There's not a lot of that here. Thank you. But I've been to some where, you know, prayer groups can kind of say, well, don't you think the preacher was a little whatever here and a little whatever there? That starts to undermine something. And I don't have all the answers, please. And I want my brethren and my leaders to help me and correct me. But don't do that with each other. Don't do that. It just undermines so much. And you'll lose your eyes. And you end up somewhere, someday, before God, when you are able to see it, that you didn't realize you went. Number seven, embrace directives from the brotherhood. Embrace them. And love them. And realize they're there for me. They're for my help. They're there for my good. Embrace those directives. And number eight, watch godly men and emulate them. In some ways, I already said all those things. I just put them in a list of eight, and I'm sure there's many more. Number eight was watch godly men and emulate them. The necessity of godly human guidance and influence in your life. The principle of human influence. All right, young people. I'm done. God bless you. Run. All right? Will you join me? I'm running. I'm trying. Failing sometimes. I'm weak sometimes. I don't always live out these principles that I've shared with you perfectly. I don't. But I'm running. Let's run together, all right? Let's go. Who was it that said? Let's go for the gold with all that we have. Let's seek to represent what our precious Lord Jesus wants us to represent here on earth with all of our lives in every way we can to be His body, to be the church that He wants us to be, that the gates of hell cannot withstand us. Do it, Lord. Amen. Amen. Father, thank You for the privilege of getting to be here with my brothers and sisters and these dear young people. Thank You. Thank You for changing my life. Thank You for changing many of their lives. I trust all of them. And God, we're asking You to keep doing it. Please, please keep doing it. And God, in light of today, Lord, I pray You would help them to see. I know many of them do. I can see it in their nods and in their eyes. I can see it in their lives. Coming from their lives, they believe what I was saying today. But God, I think You also know there's some that don't hear, and You know who all those are. Oh God, I want to bow their hearts and get their eyes back. And I pray for myself, Lord, please help me keep my eyes. Please, Father. Lord, we love You. We love you. Thank you again for this time here. And I realize that still a little time left, but it feels kind of like it's ending to me. Oh God, take us on, Lord. Please take us on. Make us godly. Lives consumed with pursuing godliness. Bless us. Bless each one here. Please, God, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. God bless you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. God be with you and lead you. You know, the key is not... I don't know if you're trying to make this sound or not. I put this down too soon, didn't I? The key is not necessarily what we do in these 5 days. The bigger key is what we do in the other 360 days, right? God bless you and give you grace in the 360 days.